In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We commemorate today the great evangelist St. Mark, and especially his great gospel, which begins right away in the first chapter with that great epiphany or manifestation of God, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at the baptism of our Lord, and ends quite abruptly with the briefest, just the bare facts, report of the resurrection in chapter 16. This gospel has, like all the gospels, its peculiarities. It is short and to the point. Therefore, the Easter gospel is the traditional gospel of the church, where we celebrate this event without any of the adornments that we find in the other gospels. Although St. Mark is very short and sticks to the essential points, he doesn't leave out characteristic human touches. It is he who reports the words Ephphatha, be opened, and Talitha Kumi, when he raises Jairus' little girl from the dead. It is he who reports the words with which the Lord addressed the raging sea, be still, peace be still. And the raging sea was instantly pacified and behaved itself according to the will of the Creator. This Holy Gospel, this particular text that was read, is noteworthy for being cited in the Formula of Concord and an example of the two uses of the word gospel. In the very beginning, first verse, the beginning of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, of gospel in the wider sense, covering the whole story, including the law. Ending in verse 15 with a narrow sense, repent, law, and believe the gospel. Clearly the decisive thing. Although it's an important distinction, it shows that the gospel, as distinct from the law, is the real content, the real text behind the text and in and with and under the text, for the sake of which everything, the whole text, is written. The whole thing is the gospel, because everything else is incidental to it. That is, the law is written for the sake of the gospel, not the other way around. St. Mark, who writes under the authority of St. Peter, and whose gospel circulated therefore by divine inspiration and by divine choice, under especially Peter's apostolic name, this is the gospel where he introduces himself without ever naming himself, standing completely aside. But he is undoubtedly the young man, sort of belonging to the youth group of the apostles, if you will, the young man who flees without his garment at the arrest scene in the garden, when also young men grabbed hold of him with the cruelty of youth, as we recently again see in the tragedies besetting us here and there. And he literally got away just with his skin. Doesn't say who he is, but this is undoubtedly the young man who then wrote the gospel. And this complete self-effacement is the transparency of St. Mark. His gospel, as the whole gospel, is transparent in one way and opaque in the other. It is completely opaque to all unbelieving pride and theology of glory. But it is completely transparent to humble faith. But as the theme of the messianic secret shows, the whole thing makes sense only in light of the cross and the resurrection, with which the gospel then abruptly ends. In light of that, it is crystal clear to faith, but totally hidden to unbelief. But dear friends, in a sense, our whole life is a text. We scribble and scribble endlessly. And how much don't we scribble every day that needs to be mercilessly deleted, deleted, deleted in our modern terms? Mercilessly by us, mercifully by God, that He wipes out our misscribblings and daily corrects our misshapen text. And it is the object of our lives in the Lord to become more and more transparent, that people might see not us, but the Lord. It's not just bad things, there's also good things that can get in the way if they are cluttery in the Pharisaic way. The Lord says, let people see your good works that they may glorify your Father in heaven. That is, works that don't draw attention to ourselves, but that constantly become clearer and transmit, as a good stained glass window, transmits the picture of the Lord. That is the gospel, and that is the ambition of every Christian life, to become more and more self-effacing and to become more and more transparent, that people might there see the good Lord. Because it is the Lord writing these epistles, gospels if you will. St. Paul says, not with letters of ink on paper or papyrus, but with the Spirit of the living God on tables that used to be stone, cardiac tables of stone, which are now alive and made new every day by the power of his resurrection. But you know, it isn't just a matter of, as it were, cultivating our own little text. Mark is not concerned just with his own little skin that he barely got by with. There are greater things at issue. And for us too, we can't be focusing, as by nature we are, curved in upon ourselves. And especially at this institution, how grateful we can be that our little texts have been touched by texts that have been woven in all different parts of the earth. Because the Lord is taking these, our millions of individual texts, and weaving them into one grand text, which is one grand transparency, which is the image of the Lord and his wife, his holy church. St. Mark himself, according to Eusebius, went on and became the missionary bishop of Alexandria, there founded the church and school, and that gospel went everywhere. This Jordan River that appears in the opening scene of our text has, in the course of the last 2,000 years, washed the shores of every continent. It has gone everywhere. And that baptismal Trinitarian washing has brought to our shores and to this little chapel people from all over. It is significant. This is this special mission celebration week that we begin and observe with special sermons that will have human texts from all over the world. To be a small part of this great global ecumenical weaving together that the Lord does, and for seeing that by the grace of God that these texts get ever clearer and ever more transparent to his glorious gospel. That is what we celebrate. And that, on that we'll celebrate the rest of this week. For that we pray and labor, and in that we rejoice. And with that, ultimately, we shall sing those unsilencing theologies of which the ancient church speaks, which shall glorify his name who has brought us together. With this bare introduction, this only introductory meditation for our week of mission observance, we shall end as abruptly as does our gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.